All right, excellent. Yes. Oh, so hello, everyone. I'm presenting remotely, so we've got a couple remote connections here. You should also be seeing my slideshow as well. So as Steve mentioned, I'm going to walk through the USPTO's eligibility guidance at a high level, because our time here today is limited, and especially walk you through some illustrative examples that show you how we apply the guidance to both life science and high-tech claims. So I have quite a few slides here. Don't worry, I'm not going to discuss each one. I just like to give you some background information to study later and also to help with CLE process. So I'm going to start with an overview of our eligibility guidance. Right now, we have four main guidance documents here at the USPTO. The foundation, of course, is our MPEP, our Manual of Patent Examination Procedure, which sets forth the overall analysis for evaluating eligibility during examination. And then it's been supplemented by three additional documents. The guidance we issued last January in 2019, which we called the Patent Eligibility Guidance, or the PEG. A guidance update we issued in October of 2019 in response to public feedback, and then a Berkheimer memo that we issued back in 2018. So these four documents go through our analysis. The MPEP, as I said, has the overall analysis. There's a flow chart on this slide. It's also in the MPEP. And essentially, we ask examiners and board personnel, when looking at eligibility, they first properly interpret the claim, and then they determine it's step one, whether it's in a statutory category. And at step two, they go through the Alice Mayo test. And slide seven just gives you some information about which sections of the MPEP and which documents address the various steps in the analysis. So I'll let you look at that later. Now, the big change that we brought out last year in 2019 was to say, you know, we think an awful lot of claims are going to this step 2B inquiry, which the courts have called significantly more than an exception or sometimes an inventive concept. And a lot of claims, unfortunately, were not making it out either in the courts or here at the office. So we looked a little deeper into the case law. We took a different perspective on it, and we came out with a two-prong test that happens in the first step of Alice Mayo that tells us, okay, first we identify whether the claim recites a judicial exception, but that alone is not enough to be a problem. We have to also determine, is that claim directed to the exception? So we created a new prong two. And I'll talk about some more details of that in a moment. Now, my next few slides summarize where to find prong one guidance for different types of judicial exceptions, as shown here on slide nine. The PEG did not change how we evaluate whether or not a claim recites a law of nature, a product of nature. So we're continuing to use the test in the MPEP. And you'll see on this slide, there's also some examples mentioned, which will give you more information about products of nature and how we apply it. Now, abstract ideas, the PEG did change how examiners evaluate that. We had previously, as you may know, asked examiners to look to the case law and determine whether claimed limitations they had before them were similar to those in the case law. Well, that got a little unwieldy because we're up to 60-something precedential decisions from the Federal Circuit alone at this point in time. So we said we have to take a different approach. So examiners now look at a claim limitation and they determine, does it fall into one of a grouping of abstract ideas? And these groupings are based on the case law. They were introduced in the PEG, and they're further explained in the update. But as you see, there's three major groupings, math concepts, mental processes, and certain methods of organizing human activity. And these terms are taken from the courts. We did not invent them ourselves. We've tried to stay with the court language as much as we can. Now, the groupings are introduced in the PEG, and then in the update, we walked through each of these groupings, because one of the questions we had from our own personnel as well as from the outside was, okay, you've given us these groupings, but what do these terms mean? So the update walks through the groupings and explains sort of some of the cases that illustrate each of those various abstract idea groupings and subgroupings in there. So for instance, it walks through the what does it mean to be a math calculation. Some people thought, oh, I actually have to have the formula to, you know, X plus Y equals Z in the claim. No, we explain that when the claim is given its proper interpretation, the examiner has to determine, does that interpretation require performance of a math calculation? And then, of course, for laws of nature and natural phenomena, we continue to use the process identified process in the MPEP for identifying these exceptions. So prong one didn't represent a huge change. The examiner resource that they use to determine what an abstract idea is has changed. But the real difference in the PEG and the update is here in prong two. And like I said, we wanted to create a more robust analysis at this stage because we thought the eligibility of a lot of claims was perhaps not being appreciated in the step 2B. So in step, we created prong 2, and examiners and board personnel now look at the claim as a whole, and particularly the additional elements in the claim, the things other than the judicial exception, to determine do they integrate the exception into a practical application. And they perform that evaluation using these considerations.